Hello, and welcome to Arthur's in Twickenham for what is no doubt the trendiest jazz podcast ever.
They say I'm out of my mind, like I'm high all the time, something changed me. The lights are shining so bright, damn you blinded my sight, feeling hazy. You got me like, ooh, you run my mind, on my mind, all of the time. Like, ooh, you run my mind, get on my mind, you make. You're on my mind. Now people talking round town, they can figure it out. Someone save me, yeah. Now you're the reason I can sleep at night, stare at the ceiling, wishing you were mine. If you only knew the things that we could be. Voices in my head.
Sorry. Rachel Clark, welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Hello, Rob. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Well done. You pretended that beautifully, having just done it without recording.
I had to just have the same tone, you know?
Yeah. But you've done some acting. You've done some shows, right? So
Yeah. Bits and bobs,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's no problem for me to ask you to
retake.
Exactly. There's a lot of retakes with the Jazz Podcast.
Yeah.
So we just listened to Crazy.
Yeah.
Explain it to us. Like, how did this track come about? Even before that, who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you? What are we doing here?
So, my name's Rachel Clark, and I'm from Doncaster. I've lived in London about 8 years now. I go under the name of Raya as well for my artist stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been down in London for 8 years, working as a full-time vocalist. I've also written a few tunes and released them under Raya, and I DJ and I do musical theatre. I just get about.
That's a lot of stuff. That's really something.
I get about, but yeah, so general, yeah, I'm just a bit of a, yeah, performing arts overload.
Yeah.
DJ, dance, singing, musical theatre, and I've just dabbled in all areas in London, so that's what I've been doing.
That's, I feel like I have to take notes about you to it's so easy. With some like if you just,
I was just thinking, I was like, I should have taken notes because I don't know what have I been doing. You know, someone goes, what have you been doing? You're like, actually, what have I been doing?
Yeah, music. So, I'm going to make notes here.
Okay,
and I can come back to them. Genius. So, of course, one of the biggest gigs that I know that you've done in your career was singing at my wedding.
Yes,
that was a big deal. I had my wedding on a Thursday because I knew you would be able to. The percentage chances that you'd be free to come sing it were a lot higher.
That's good thinking, you know. That's good thinking. I like it.
Yeah, it worked out great.
And for the whole band. The whole band is like the A team were there, weren't
they? You get the A team on a Thursday.
Exactly, exactly. People need to learn this.
You do. And it's cheaper. It's really, really cheap to get married on a Thursday instead of a Saturday.
But it's normal people with normal jobs.
I know, but I don't know any of those.
Yeah, so you're fine.
It's good. You're just best off not knowing those people, you know? I went through Dorking yesterday and I saw a sign that said commuter car park.
Right.
And I was just like, oh God, imagine if
every morning.
I apologize if you're listening and you use the commuter car park at Dorking. But every morning of your life to like get into the city and
like 6 a.m. probably or 7.
I could do it once in my life for one day. But then the second day I'd die.
When I have an early morning, I'm always the person on the tube that's just miserable, like so miserable. I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
One day and that's it.
So you're
and I'm
not,
written off.
You're written off. You're not a morning person.
Not really, no. I'm a real night owl. Like, my brain kicks in after midnight, it seems. Sometimes. Sometimes I can really fall asleep at midnight, but other times, like, if I've got stuff to do in the day, I can't really get going until later on. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just our job, like, we're used to being, like, at peak performance in the evening.
I find that really interesting that you've, like, I really struggle with like, the odd time that we've worked together. Like, I'm knackered by 10 o'clock. Like, it's
all
over.
Right.
I really need to go to bed. Yeah, like it's a,
and you're
like,
early.
That's why I don't really do too many functions, frankly.
Yeah.
Or, like, any weddings. Like one a week I can cope with, but I just tire out so fast.
So do you get up really early?
Yes.
What time?
7.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I'm really annoying if you're not a morning person, because I will spring out of bed like a chicken. And
do you know what? I set my alarm for 8, but I never get up.
Wow.
I set my alarm always with, like, the best intentions.
Yeah.
Like, the gym, a full nice breakfast.
Yeah.
Ready for my day.
Yeah.
But then... But then the snooze button just happens every time.
I see. This is my excuse for having never done the late show at Ronnie's, is because it's just way too late for me.
<That's> brilliant.
Amongst many other reasons why I might not have done it, it's just so damn late.
It's too late. Can't do it.
Yeah. No. I literally one time went to the Pizza Express Jam, the one that starts at 12:30.
Yeah.
And I was like 18, you know, so... I was a younger man then, Rachel. That's not happening
Sprightly.
Now. Yeah, I was. So, yeah, sorry, the track, Crazy. How did the whole... Because it was for the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How did that come about?
So, I went to college. I went to Tech Music School. In Acton, it's now BIM,
right.
It's in Fulham. So I went there, and when I first moved to London.
Right.
What year was it? Oh, God.
You and I came quite close together.
Yeah. You know, when you think about the year that you studied, you're like, oh, God, I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably
it was
a long time
ago.
Yeah.
And in my class was a guy called Samir.
Right.
Samir Elshay. Who was another singer in the class, but he was always really, really good at songwriting. And we'd kept in touch since college.
How long is this course that you're speaking of?
I only did a year diploma, yeah.
Like a performance diploma?
It was in popular, it was vocals, yeah, but it was pop, yeah.
Right.
Samir had basically carried on writing since college, and he'd got a publishing deal with Tile Yard and things like that. And he'd written a song with a lady that had entered into Eurovision from Iceland a few times, actually,
yeah.
Called Greta Salome.
Right.
She's a bit of an Icelandic legend.
Oh, cool.
And so they'd written a song at a writing camp for Eurovision, and one of these songs was Crazy. Then they basically, you know, are in the position where they can ask an artist to represent the song.
Wait, they wrote it?
Yeah.
Crazy. Who did the famous version of it?
Oh, no, that's a different song.
Is it? Because I played this song and I thought they were the same thing.
No.
Oh my God, what is wrong with me?
That's a totally different song. Like, Crazy Niles Barkley.
Right. I'm going to have to edit this out, aren't I? This is an absolutely unspeakable, like, putting my feet in it. Like, this is disgraceful. I genuinely listened to them so that I wouldn't say anything stupid when we came to talk about it.
So, crazy, just a little bit, crazy, that one.
Yeah.
That's my one.
Right, okay.
It's not famous, no.
Oh, God, I'm so confused. Okay, fine. Now I'm not confused, but I am.
Where's
this has probably damaged my reputation a little bit.
Wait, should we start again?
Yeah, let's start the whole thing again. Right, tell me about Crazy.
Okay, so Crazy was written by Samir, who I went to college with. He's a vocalist.
Right.
And he carried on after college, like, writing a lot, because he was always really good at writing. And then he wrote this song at a Eurovision, I think it was like a writing camp, but for the, like, pitching for the Eurovision contest. And he wrote it with a woman called Greta Salome, who is Icelandic Eurovision royalty. She's gone in for the Eurovision for Iceland twice.
Yeah.
And so they wrote this song called Crazy, and then they basically need to ask an artist to sing their song for them at Eurovision. And Samir came to me to ask if I was interested. And then I went into audition for the BBC. And I wasn't sure. I think I auditioned with just random songs at first, just so they could hear my voice. And then they put me onto this Crazy track. And then a couple of weeks later, I had a few auditions with BBC, and then...
So you recorded it at this point?
No, it was just a demo version at that point. And I just sang it in the audition. And then Samir called me. He was like, you've got it. Like, they're using you as one of the six people.
Oh, cool.
So, I don't know if you saw You Decide, but six contestants go in.
Right.
With six different songs, and all the songs have been written at one of these camps.
Yeah.
They gave me the go-ahead, and then we organised everything. I had to go in and do these long promo days and get all the vocals recorded on the track at Tile Yard. That was really cool.
How long did that take?
All the promo and stuff.
All the vocals, like the recording?
The recording... I did it in like half a day.
Right.
It was not too difficult. It was like a really good engineer and stuff like that, and really nice studio.
Oh, cool.
We just got it down in half a day, and there were a camera crew in there, and so it's quite intense experience from the get-go, really, doing Eurovision. But yeah, and then that was just before Christmas, so... They basically get everything ready to go in January and release in January.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Did you see? I might be asking one of your questions.
No.
Here.
Go for it.
But did you see the initial hoo-ha that I had for Eurovision?
Yes.
With the sun.
No, I didn't. I only followed you on your own social media going through it.
Yeah. So we had all the tracks recorded and everything, but they weren't meant to be released, until the BBC actually does a full release.
Yeah.
But somehow The Sun got hold of my name and my track.
That's a bit weird.
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
But I hadn't sent it to anyone.
Just for the record.
It was you. I hadn't sent it to anybody, so... Basically, there was a slip-up, I think, between, someone who trusted someone else with some information.
Yeah.
And that person just ran straight to The Sun.
Wow.
Because I was still learning about the Eurovision, vibe and the family situation. Because when we had the promo videos done, it was like they really sat us down and were like, are you ready for this? And
that sounds really intense.
I wasn't, when you're doing something, you get asked to do something. I was like, that's amazing. I'm really happy about doing it. But I didn't think it was that big.
No.
And obviously, it's just like a TV show essentially. But, when we got to the promo, we had all these different teams, so press teams and people who would sit down and tell us how to sort our social media out, because it'll get like combed through and all these different things and how to have an interview and all these like training courses essentially.
Yeah.
And then after that promo day, I realized, I was like, this is going to be intense.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? So I love stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of not why I do this, but I really like the buzz around things like that.
Yeah.
So it was crazy, when the Sun ran an article and they were like really with me, and I was just like, it was a bit disheartening, but actually it kind of worked in my favour because people like stuck up for me a bit. You know what I mean? They were like, why are you being so mean to this singer who's just trying? You know what I mean? She's just trying her best in the industry like everyone else. So it was an interesting start to my
That's just crazy. I just can't believe anything can get so out of hand or so much excitement around it.
It's because
teams and
and if you don't like, I guess you don't watch Eurovision, or I'm not sure, but it's obviously like quite a niche thing. So you don't really realise how into it people are until you're in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, once you're inside that bubble, it's like, wow.
Like, is it something you'd want to do again?
I don't think so. Like, I'm not really one for, like, I'm not really one for trying again. As in, once I've done like something like that, I don't think I ever think about doing it again or trying again, because it's like, it served its purpose. You know what I mean? It was fun. I met all these different people.
Yeah.
I got to do that amazing show, the experience.
Yeah.
And I got fans off of it and things like that. So I think if I was to do it again, I don't know. Because after, did you see what happened to Suri at Eurovision?
No.
Yeah. So it's so political, that show, that it's quite, I don't know, like, it's quite scary sometimes.
That's all I knew about it, was that it's, like, uber political and that Britain never wins.
Well, yeah, we used to win, but Surrey had, like, a stage invasion.
Right.
So somebody ran on and grabbed a microphone and started shouting about the media, British media.
Wow.
She's obviously petrifying and, like, she handled it, like, amazingly. She just carried on, like, straight through. Got a mic back and carried on. But after seeing that, I was like, God, I don't know what I would have done on that situation.
No.
Like, I would have obviously tried to be, just do what Suri did, you know, just carry on. But essentially, it's quite dangerous. It's like, wouldn't appeal to me.
I can see.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
But I love doing it. I love the experience.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
So why did you get into singing in the first place? Like, how old were you?
You know what? I always, like, all I know is I was singing from, like, my mum said, like, practically as I fell out of the womb.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
but the thing is, it wasn't like, I never had lessons or anything. I wasn't, I just remember being really into music as a kid. I know, like, we all are, but that's all I can personally remember, just being, like, singing to the Spice Girls and Michael Jackson and stuff like that. And my dad used to sing and play guitar. And I remember him sitting in the car whenever we were going anywhere. He'd have, like, Shania Twain on, things like that, and Celine Dion.
Nice.
And he'd be singing with, like, loads of vibrato, like, and I'd always sit in the back and try and do it, like.
Oh, cool.
That's my first memory, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just started singing like that, listening to my dad, sitting at home and doing, like, shows with my friends.
Yeah.
When you learn Christina Aguilera licks and sit at home and do that, that is literally why that's all the reason why I got into singing. I was mainly a dancer, actually. I danced from, like, being 5 years old.
Right.
Until I was, like, 18. As in
you're having, like, less training?
Yeah, yeah, I was trained, yeah. So I didn't do music at school.
Yeah.
Just did drama and went to college and did performing arts and dance. So I was never, like, I never really knew I wanted to be a singer, to be honest.
Okay.
I just knew that I liked music, loved music, loved being on stage. And that was it. I honestly had no idea what I was doing.
Great. So then why didn't you become, were you ever tempted to be a dancer professionally?
Yeah. So when I was at college, so I did contemporary dance, and I broke my foot, like, about, I don't know, 3 months before the end of my course.
Right.
And I had a nightmare with it. I had to retrain my foot and all this stuff. And, I got my A level, but then after that, I can't remember fully why. I can't remember if it was the foot or... I remember I was with a guy at the time, a long-term boyfriend, and he was like, I want to move to London. So I was like, okay, yeah, well, I might do that as well. And and one of his friends had just gone to a music college, tech music school, so...
Yeah,
that's literally how it happened. I was like, I'll go and do music. And I had no real plan in mind. I didn't really know what jobs there were for people. Like, I'm from, like, kind of a small town where
people
have left and
don't discuss.
Yeah, they've left and done music and do music, but it's not like it's not something I'd ever really thought about. Like,
no.
So, yeah, when I went down to London, I was just like, I'm going to do music, and here we are.
So, did you go straight on that course that you mentioned?
Yeah, straight on that, yeah.
Amazing. And then, because I never really knew what jobs there were either.
Isn't it? Because I was, you know. I thought that, I was like, do people have a set, like, pathway in mind? Because some people really do come down and go, I want to be a session vocalist, or I want to be a backing vocalist, or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's their goal, and that's obviously more helpful.
Yeah.
But I genuinely didn't have an idea. I always thought I wanted to be an artist.
Yeah.
But I'd always felt like that. But I thought it was going to be easier than it is.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think when I moved down, I remember being like, I'll just be an artist. I'll just be like, just being pop and da da da. And then, obviously, had like a few goes at things and had like quite a few opportunities. But at the end of the day, needed to make money to live in London.
Yeah.
I remember that transition, you know. I remember being like, right, I need to make money. I need to. And being an artist, like, you don't really at the beginning, do you? So.
No.
That,
if anything, you're paying out to do it, to achieve anything, or, you know, to, like, create any promotional material at all, or whatever it is that you want.
Yeah.
It starts with a big time. I mean, I'm making my album at the moment, and that there's no way that that's ever going to make money. It's just a question of how little can I lose.
Yeah. Exactly.
Classy.
But, yeah, I remember that moment where I was like, I worked in a pub for a little bit after I left college.
Yeah.
And I needed to pay my way. Like, my mum and dad they weren't able to fund me. I wasn't in a situation like that or anything. So I had to make my own way. So I ended up kind of going into the function route. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it makes money. And
it's
like not just that, but it is kind of like your bread and butter. For musicians, isn't it? You know, it's a job. It's like, it's a thing that can, basically, if you want to do your own music, you can keep yourself afloat doing, like, all these different jobs and stuff, and then, you know, get your own album done or whatever. And
yeah, totally. That's exactly how my life works.
Yeah.
Like, my teaching is, like, the source of, like, income, which pays for a mortgage and for, I don't know, whatever else it is that we need to buy in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, really mundane things. And then functions are always, for me, like unbudgeted extra money, which yeah. then gets reinvested into my own album or like, you know, well, whatever it is. But
yeah,
but yeah, exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, like, to play a gig where someone else gets to pick the music, you can make so much money. But to play a gig where you pick the music, you can make no money.
I know.
Such a fine line.
It's just like, it's typical business, isn't it? It's like customer and client want what they want. And even with all our expertise, you can go to some clients and be like, trust me, this would work better, but it's always going to be at the end of the day what they want, because they're, you know, paying the money.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. So musical theatre.
Yeah.
What was the show? Was it Rent?
Yeah, I did.
Is that a show?
Yeah, I did.
Because I'm trying to look clever.
I did Rent and Legally Blonde like a couple of years ago.
Cool.
And they were like just short runs.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really sure. I knew that I could do musical theatre, but I hadn't done it for ages, so I just was trying it again. And then
but it seems like your idea of trying it is quite a high profile, like not like you're just in the chorus, you know.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that, I think.
Yeah.
I'm always like, what's the word? I don't know what the word is. Perfectionist. I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm just doing a little show.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a, one of those always striving for more, but sometimes to the point of like not realising what I've done. Do you know what I mean?
I like that a lot, yeah. It's I mean, everything you've done very much to the fullest possible, you know.
Thanks.
Like, you know, wow. Without, yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of got back into the musical theatre thing through a friend, and then once I'd done Rent...
But what did you do? Did you go and audition for it and just sort of hope for the best?
Yeah.
Right.
Legally Blonde was first, so I auditioned for that and got to know the guys, and then
yeah.
and they were putting Rent on, and I suit one of the characters quite well, so I think they had me in mind for it, and then went and auditioned for that. And when I was doing Rent, I thought this might be quite a good opportunity to get some agents down so that they can see you, and then that's all you really need in theatre, because when you go to actual theatre college, you kind of get agents down at your end of year performance, but obviously I didn't have that, so
yeah,
got an agent down, and I got an agent off that show, and I'm still with them now, and they they get me loads of auditions, and did the Rehab show last year. I don't know if you saw that,
yeah,
which was kind of like a new show that they were trialing out and stuff, but it was with like some real big music heads. So I was like, I didn't know until I really got into it, like how high profile it was. And
that's the story of your life, right? You'd be like into the second week of it, and you're like,
oh, it's you, right? Honestly, it was crazy. It was one of those moments. I was like, oh shit, these people are like, woo,
yeah.
What, like the son, the guy that wrote to his dad was Don Black, who's James Bond, the writer of all the James Bond theme tunes.
Oh, wow.
It was like serious heads coming in. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's amazing. See, whenever I attempt something, I try and do it without anyone. Like, if I do a function gig, I'll attempt to be unseen, unheard, like, you know, an invisible, like, you know, I don't know.
Bed by 10.
Yeah, exactly. Just if I can sneak out and nobody notices that I missed the first, like the second set and the third set, then that's perfect.
I mean, if I could do that, I would.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, I'm actually a bit tired.
I'm actually knackered, so yeah. Can you just finish this, yeah, this set for me? Cheers.
So, have you got anything in a musical theatre that you want to do that is on the horizon?
I've had a couple of things like almost come off in the past year,
yeah,
that have fallen through,
yeah,
that have been my what I want to do.
Right.
I've been like, aye.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping nice that they may be on the horizon at another point.
Yeah.
I did, there's a new Prince musical that's just been written.
Oh, cool.
That will be touring and onto West End. It's like kind of like Thriller, but the Prince one.
Yeah.
I auditioned for that last year. And
yeah,
they wanted to cast me as like the lead woman next to Prince. I was like, oh my God.
Oh,
like there,
wow,
there were three, there would have been three lead vocalists, female vocalists.
Yeah.
You know, like his girls that he has on stage.
Yeah.
And that would have been my dream. I was like, this is like sick. And then I think as soon as it got kind of like cast, they ran into legal difficulties, I think, with Prince's estate. So I don't know what's happening with that one. It's just been shelved at the minute.
Yeah.
But I hope,
man, that must be an expensive shelving for whoever's,
I know,
paying the production.
Exactly. I'm hoping that comes back out, because I'd love to do that.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
The Bat Out of Hell show. I don't know if you've seen Bat Out of Hell.
No.
There's a girl called Raven. She's like the lead female. She's got like dark hair like me. So I look quite similar to her. So I auditioned,
yeah,
for that and almost got to cover her. And that's just gone on to the West End.
Yeah.
So I'm on their books for that and I'm hoping that one day I'll,
yeah,
get a slot.
But you have to learn the entire show.
Yes. Well, I don't know how it works with that one, but usually you get put in as an ensemble, and
right,
then you learn her part as well.
Right.
And
you can be
slotted in as a swing at any,
yeah,
point. It's like crazy,
right,
really.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's,
yeah,
a pretty, that show's got like, vocally, I would love to do that show because it's like rock, you know, pop rock stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know really, like what, I think I'd like to do a gig in town, to be honest. I'd like to,
yeah,
do a show in town.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for a year or whatever, and just get a taste for it and understand how it works. And I just think it'd be amazing. Like, or even a tour would be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally, I'm not overly musical theatre.
Nice.
I'm not like Les Mis,
yeah,
vibes. I'm more like, yeah, I'm poppy. You know, I've got the pop rock vocal kind of vibe, and that,
yeah,
works a lot of stuff at the minute. But
yeah,
you've got to find the right slot. If you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's a hard thing about being you, like. In my line of work, it doesn't really matter what you look like.
Yeah.
Because you're not playing a physical part. You're just making noises.
Yeah.
Very much out of sight as well.
Mm.
But, you know, yeah. When you add in the fact that, like, what you want to do, plus there's only certain parts that you're eligible for in each show.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know.
And you can sometimes sing your heart out, but you don't look right. And it's like...
Yep.
Most of the time, the looks thing is just as important.
Yeah.
For things, certainly, that I've been going for anyway, it's like, it might be too, like, a couple of inches too short or whatever.
That really
and it's,
sucks.
It's quite frustrating, yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad for, like, you know, people who, like test pilots who were too tall to qualify for NASA.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're over 5'11", you just never got to walk on the moon.
Wow, like, yeah.
End of story.
It's like,
that must really hurt if,
yeah,
you're the best. And that you just, like, that, you know, they just pick a number and that's the max. And that's
so
it.
Frustrating, wouldn't it?
Mm.
But yeah. I don't have the
problem.
Luckily,
that's not
problem
for you.
Too tall.
No.
don't have that problem.
Right, so the DJing, what made you decide that that's something you wanted to do and try? How did you even get into it? Like,
I have been doing that since I was young. Like, I remember doing it, when I was, early secondary school. I used to have this little... Right. I've always had this obsession with electronic music, always.
Yeah.
A bit of a chav at heart, you know. And, I used to collect, all this, you know, when I was younger, the 90s and noughties electronic music. And I used to, mix it on my computer with this software, do, these mashups. Then going through college, I learned how to DJ vinyl. And then but it was always just a side thing. I just really liked doing it. I wasn't ever I want to be a DJ. And then, I bought a couple of bits of equipment when I was in London, practiced a little bit on my laptop. I've collected a ton of electronic music and I just really enjoyed playing it and mixing it. And that was it. And then I decided to invest in a proper piece of kit. And after I did that, I realized I could obviously work as a DJ because I can do the mixing and what have you. And gradually people just started booking me for stuff, and it's mainly commercial, that's not why I got into DJing. I didn't just start DJing to do pop stuff for money, you know what I mean? But the gigs are there, and if someone asks me to do it and I'm free on a Friday and they want me to come and DJ it, whatever, I'll do you know what I mean? I'm doing those gigs. So it's kind of still really a bit of a hobby, it's still in music, obviously, but it's kind of a guilty pleasure. I just really enjoy it. I just really enjoy messing about with it.
Amazing.
And then I'm now learning actual professional skills as well. So it just happened like that. And I do a ton of DJing gigs now. I think it's because of me being a female as well. It's kind of this niche, isn't it? Which at first I was a bit it's really hard to get people to take you seriously with it because it's a touchy subject, but generally it sometimes feels like people presume that you're not very good because you've just got the gig because you're a girl or whatever like that. You feel like you have to prove yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
But gradually there's now a ton of girls doing DJing and doing programming and, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's, it's getting better.
It's really interesting as well because I used to think I was versatile until we had this conversation. but because you've gone across so many different areas of that some people would call just that one thing a specialism, and you're pushing three or four completely different areas of our profession here. And as you go across them, you can see how people react differently. I'm sure as a female vocalist, nobody can assume that you just got the gig because you're female.
No,
you don't get that vibe. And then if you start doing a DJ gig and people treat you differently, you'd be super aware of it.
Yeah, it's very different. I've noticed, there's been times in a couple of venues where some comments have been made by drunk men, where the truths come out of their mouths. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh wow.
Yeah.
And they probably don't remember saying things, but they do say it sometimes.
Absolutely.
And you kind of see into their minds a bit.
Yeah.
And it's probably not really conscious. I think it's probably like that with instruments as well. With bassists, girl bassists and girl drummers. Mm-hmm. I think it is a thing still, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Where you have to be, you feel like you have to be extra, extra, extra good because you're a girl.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Completely.
Or is that me being a girl? Is that me being a feminist?
No, I mean, I'm not in a position to answer those questions.
I think it's a thing. I think it's still a thing.
It seems like in 2018 it would be nice if it was not a thing.
Mm. I think it... I don't know. I think it's better. Like, yeah. The fact that there never used to be hardly any female DJs, for example, it's still massively, like, probably more so than some instruments, like, the most male-dominated industry, like with sound techs and, you know, all the kind of the techie stuff.
Yeah.
It's quite rare that you see a female doing it.
Yeah, well, I think here's some nerd knowledge that doesn't take us very far, but Turner Sims in Southampton, believe their sound tech is a female.
Okay.
But that's all I've got to add to it, really.
Which is, like, is great, but you don't hear of it much, do you? You don't, like...
No, well, that's is the only venue off the top of my head that springs to mind.
Exactly, yeah. I think, the general public... maybe don't understand, like, with female DJs, I think they think you need, like, one guy in a venue, for example, said, looking at my gear, you know, like, big pioneer setup that he's never seen in his life, he said something like, do you need help with this? And I was like, no, I'm fine, because he wanted his song playing and I didn't have it, so he asked if I needed some help. Do you need help? In a really patronising way. Nice. And I was like, no, I don't actually. But I felt like going, well, go ahead. Like, you're not going to have a clue what to do with this.
Yeah, this isn't iTunes, pal.
I was like, go ahead, mate. Like, go for it. Yeah. Like, it was so patronising. I was like, would you say that to a male DJ? I don't know. Like,
no.
I'm not sure that you would. I don't know. I can't say that, but... it was just the tone and everything. I was like, wow. Like, no, I don't need any help, thank you. I do this full time. Like, this is my job. Yeah. But things slip out of people's mouths when they're drunk, you know?
Yeah.
But he was just like, he won't remember saying that to me, but...
No.
So it's interesting. And I love DJing. I would just do it anyway. Like, it's kind of a bit of a... stress reliever for me, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of, I'm always, like, even if I'm chilling in the evening, like, the idea of having a little mix isn't work, so I just really enjoy it.
Oh, amazing. So that's a beautiful balance you got going on. So tell me about Make It Right before we get out of here.
Yeah.
This song.
Yeah.
And I just won't say anything, and then I'll look intelligent throughout.
Yeah.
So what is it?
So that song, I wrote that ages ago, basically. It's a song that... Do you know Tom Barrell?
Yeah. Of course. Guitarist. Yeah.
So I wrote the song myself and produced it initially.
He was part of the Wedding A team.
Yes, he was, yes.
Yeah. Plus, he lived in Richmond, so I think he just walked to the gig.
Did he?
Yeah.
I love Tom Barrell.
Too easy.
Well, I wrote it initially, and then... I went and to Tom and got the production done and everything. It was a song that, like, it was just one of those songs that got me going, like, back on. Like, I've done the thing where I've written a bit and then I've fallen off and then I've written a bit and then I've fallen off and I've been unsure of my sound and, you know, things like that just for years and years and years. And this is a song I still really love, and I think it kind of shows my sound the best. And also, I thought I'd give you it anyway because it's about to be... So the vocal is being featured on, like, a drum and bass track that's being released this summer by a big producer called Scientific, who he's, like, big on Radio 1 and,
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And he heard the track and asked if he could remix it, basically. So he's recently put it on his album... I've just been down to the studio and recorded it with him.
Oh, wow. Do you have to send him, like, original WAV files, or do you do the vocal again?
I went in and did the vocal again. Because he's, like, pitched it and all these different things. But the hook from this tune is going to be out in the summer on this drum and bass track. So,
oh, amazing.
Yes. I don't know when. I need to find out release date and stuff. But yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, the only thing I know about Radio 1 right now is that Nick Grimshaw's about to stop doing the breakfast show.
Is he?
Did you know that? 6 years, time for a change.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, do you know, my friend Dev, he's on Radio 1 as well.
Oh, I love Dev.
Yeah.
I didn't know you knew him.
So we released, like, tons of music before.
He's, like, my favourite guy.
Really?
He always plays the best songs. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
When I used to drive home from school, he used to do these, like... 40-minute non-stop things. They were like life-changing for me
amazing.
In the middle of the afternoon.
So me and him are gonna, he's gonna produce an EP for me this year, I think.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm gonna come along and like touch his face and stuff.
He's an like, amazing I love producer, you, like insane producer. So we're in talks at the minute about getting a little house EP out and stuff.
Sweet.
So I was thinking
really
maybe
cool.
He might be doing the breakfast show. I don't know, because he takes on some of these shows. Did you see Celebrity MasterChef?
I don't watch the celebrity version. I'm too much of a snob.
It was really good, but I don't know. Maybe he's doing taking over the
show.
That'd
be cool. He'd be great at that. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, not that anyone cares what I think.
Sure, my dream is
to
be a radio presenter.
That would be amazing.
Maybe I'll just do it. Hi!
Yeah. Good. Just, that would be a really you thing to do, to just... It's like your first radio gig is the breakfast show. And then only after a month you're like, hey, this is a really big deal. Man, loads of people are listening.
Shut up, I'm not that bad. Hi, can I have a job? Yeah, do you know what? Just take over Nick Grimshaw, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be good. That'd be so
good.
Oh,
God.
You can make, funnily enough, Rachel, that's something I really want to do as well.
Is it?
I think Radio 3 is more my speed,
yeah.
You know, some kind of jazz hour.
Sure, yeah.
Where I do this, basically. Yeah
I'd love to do that. Like, that's what I was always thinking of. What? Because I would like to play, like, really experimental underground electronic music just for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Just give me a slot for an hour and I'll do things like that.
Do you ever see Anchorman 2?
No.
They get the, it's the first station ever to do 24-hour news.
Right.
And they get the like 3 a.m. slot.
Yeah.
So they revolutionise the news by, you know, telling stories that people want to hear rather than the truth. But, you should, if you go away and watch that film.
Yeah.
That's what I have in mind for you. Like, they'll give you BBC Radio 1 Extra at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You'll do something so groundbreaking that you'll, like spike the rate.
Oh, amazing!
In a way they've
how
never
would you?
Seen
how do I even get one of those shows? I'm going to call Dev now. Be like, "Hello."
Well, that's a good start. You know him. Can I have a show, please?
I've got nothing to say, but
yeah. But still,
got a ton of music.
Yeah, you like music. That's half the
exactly,
gig.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. That'd be great. Dreams.
That would be. Big time. You know, if you can't get that gig, you can always start a niche podcast.
True.
Do
you know what? I listen to podcasts all the time, and I always think, oh, because I've always wanted to do like a music thing where I unearth new weird music. And I guess podcasts would be the first place to go, wouldn't it?
Well, it's a good place to be because, like, for our show, we can kind of balance. Lots of established artists with people that maybe aren't established yet who deserve the platform and make it that we can talk about them.
Yeah.
Plus you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. It's mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Rachel, it's been such a pleasure.
Oh,
thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me
on. To talk
to
us. Oh, it's been amazing. Well, let's finish with Make It Right.
Okay.
Here she goes.
Lay, I've seen it all before, and I know I'm not the only one. won't let it go.